B'siyata d'shmaya, last time we had left off with the topic when we were out of time, and that is we were talking about a child's relationship with mitzvahs, and then I said we have to talk about also a child's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that phenomenon of a child's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a fascinating topic that I can't claim to be makif or to be an expert on, but I do want to share with you something that, as Reb Shlomi knows, someone who teaches an Eish, that this is like the ABCs. But for those who weren't raised in Eish HaTorah or weren't exposed to a lot of the Torah of Rav Noach Weinberg, this might not be one of your Aseres HaDibros. Actually, that was a Freudian slip when I said Aseres HaDibros. I didn't even mean how Rav Noach Zatzal connected it to Aseres HaDibros. On the Aseres HaDibros, we have Kavod Avicha v'Imecha as being the fifth of the Aseres HaDibros, and it's well known that b'Pashtus, one side of the Aseres HaDibros is Bein Adam L'Chaver, and the other is Bein Adam L'Makom. And the kasha isn't Kavod Avicha v'Imecha also Bein Adam L'Chaver? So there are many different ways to approach that problem. Through a Kli Revi or a Kli Chamishi, so I'm not reporting what Rav Noach Weinberg said, it's more an idea that's been inspired by Rav Noach Weinberg, is that our relationship with our parents is actually our first introduction to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could explain it through the idea of Shlosh HaShutvim Ba'adam, and the notion being that when a child comes into the world, the child's entire existence is dependent on its parents. They ran a story that there was parents came to the airport just to a few weeks ago, and they found out that they had to buy a ticket for their child, and they didn't have money to buy a ticket, so they just left the kid in the airport. That was it. That's the story. I hope that they weren't Jewish. I don't think so. But that was the alleged story. They just couldn't. They wanted to go wherever they wanted to go, and they just left the baby. That was the alleged story. Whatever the details of the story are, the reason why that story staggers us is because the idea that everyone understands that the parents are everything for a child, and now let's look at it from the perspective of a child itself. The child's notion of security and something that's all powerful, and their existence being entirely dependent on a parent, is a mashal to and the first introduction to the child of the idea of an all-powerful entity that is in direct control of their lives. And so therefore, a child's belief system and child's sense of security with God is very much going to be dependent on their sense of security also with their parents. It's a very tief of art. You could have almost ascribed this art to Freud, except for the Aseres HaDibros. But it's a very, very profound idea. And if you spend some time thinking about it, you'll think about it. You'll spend time and recognize that there might be in your own life certain things about your relationship with your parents that also manifest throughout your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's relevant for us in Avad on Chinuch Habanim is a notion that realize that your positive relationship with your children is not only about them growing up emotionally healthy and them growing up as happy people, but actually the depths of their sense of security with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also going to be dependent on that and that as well, which is absolutely fascinating. And we come back to the point of the ger that we concluded with last week, that in our Bate Midrashim, we don't necessarily preach about God all the time, but we live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the beautiful things that my mother, may she be well, said at my father's shiva was that she said, one of my kids asked her, thought my mother was holy, and she's a very special woman, so she asked my mother to daven for her. And my mother said to her, I don't do that. I don't know how to do that. She said, I don't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my pocket, but I hope, but I feel that I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pocket. And my mother, actually, if you want to connect it to my mother's childhood, my mother grew up in a very, very, very traumatic time, and it's affected her life that she was born 2 months before the World War II, and her first few months were extremely, extremely tumultuous, escaping across, so on and so forth. So her sense of, on the one hand, a life of tumult, yet at the same time of being in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pocket, is something that's quite profound. So my grandmother successfully made my mother feel, despite that tremendous turmoil, that she was in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pocket. So at the end of the day, I think that's really, really important in terms of the way we think of ourselves as parents. In other words, maybe there are many ways to apply what Rav Weinberg's message is, but maybe let's just apply it this way, and that is, don't think that your parenting is just about an emotional level, but your parenting actually becomes a key to a child's avodas Hashem, its initial perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how they relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moving on to the yachas between parents and children, now we're going to begin to get a little bit more practical. We've been in the world of theory a lot, and now we're going to try to get practical. One of the most beautiful terms that I've heard in terms of summarizing what parenting is supposed to be is three F's: firm, fair, and friendly. These three terms of firm, fair, and friendly are extremely, extremely profound. Let's go to the idea of fair first, and then we'll go back to firm. The story about fair is actually a very, very, very important idea. Parents today, when they're so good to their children, are actually not fair to their children. Parents are not fair to their children because sometimes what they do is they don't challenge them enough. They don't involve them enough in terms of responsibility. A parent that gives a child everything and a child doesn't contribute to family life, to family responsibilities, what the term that's used today would be spoiled. A spoiled child, actually, parents are not being fair to them. So that's people often didn't think of it that way, but that's most definitely true. Take a look at Revolbi on page Chav Zayin, Shituf Ba'achrayas. Ani rotzeh la'azkir ikaron nosaf, shel yochol lios le'izer rav b'chinuch hayilodim. Choshem ma'od, maybe to bring, give Mori a booklet. Choshem ma'od l'shatef yiladim ba'avodatam shel orim. Involve your children in the work in your work. L'mashal, beit leidah shel ach katam derech kal kishemagi tinok chadash habayta hayelad hagadol menu mikanebo umargish et atzmo min atzad. Sometimes there's sibling rivalry when a new child is brought in. By the way, that's very, very normal. Baruch Hashem, we see this in Gross. You know that you had a prince or a princess, and then there's a second child, and then boom, they become entirely different kids. Machmas hachinuch, mechochmat hachinuchu l'shatef et hayelad o hayalda b'tipul b'rach hanolad. V'afilu mehem rak b'nei shalosh. Efshar levakesh imenu l'sim et hamotzeitz b'piv b'peh shel achiv hakatan. Suggest to the older child, help you with the pacifier to put in the baby's mouth. And then what's going to happen next time is they're going to put the pacifier in the baby's eye or something like that. That these things sometimes do happen. But at the end of the day, something that will not result in anything that's dangerous, I think is something that should be encouraged. one of the beautiful scenes in Eretz Yisrael. And typically people stereotype this in the Haredi world, but it's just as true in the Dati Lumi world, where there are large families. As you'll walk down the street and you'll see 6-year-old girls, you know, taking care of 2 or 3 younger kids. You know, you'll have a scene of a 6-year-old girl that's jumping rope and she's holding 2 of her siblings while she's jumping rope. In the Soloveitchik heritage, they say Rav Soloveitchik's mother described that she was jumping rope, and Rav Elia Pruzhner called her in and said that you're getting engaged to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. There was a certain maturity that went along. In other words, girls who were jumping rope were also ready to marry Reb Chaim's son, and already the parents expected on a certain level some maturity. And what Revolbi is saying, it's not just a vart in maturity, but it's also a vart in the children feeling they're a part. And giving children responsibility brings them into the dynamic of the family. But there's another part to being fair. And that other part is actually a very scary part. And that's an chav test. This is the Asei Tov. We just did the Asei Tov. And then a chav test, Rav Volbi gives us a sur meira. And that is kinah and kavod. Sometimes, let's start with Chavches, page Chavches, even on the bottom. Leitim krovot anach motzim shorim noktim pulot l'chinuch ha'yiladim kaviyacho, u'be'etzem ein shun keshe b'ein ha'pulot ha'ele b'ein chinuch. Sometimes parents think that they're doing chinuch, but they're really doing something entirely different that's not chinuch. It actually comes from midos ra'os that's inside of them. When a child encourages his child to go to the extra learning in shul. Why are they encouraging their child? Did you think it through that the extra learning in shul is right for your child? Or is pasnished that your child is not going to the extra learning? Hayitachin, my child's not going to the extra learning in shul. So we always have to make a cheshbon nefesh, even things that look like chinuch, whether that's really chinuch or it's coming from our own, what we would call in the psychology world, very, very simple word, our own stuff. Is it coming from our own stuff? So let's take a look on page Chavtes. Kina, imani roesh hayelad shal shachein ozer yoter li'ima, ani mekaneh. So here Revolbi talks about not learning, but you see that the other child's helping out at home. Madua yelad shali lo ozer yoter. Im achakach, ani machriach et hayelad la'azor yoter, ze lo nasa mitoch chinuch, el mitoch hakinah b'shachein. So chas v'chalil, that could come from kina. Or kavod. In bo malai mevakrim, ani rotzeh sheyelet shli yavov yagid lehem yafeh shalom v'yitneheg yafeh. When is it that we ask the child to behave nicely? Is it we ask the children to behave nicely when they're guests, or that's it? Or we believe that 4-year-olds are supposed to greet everybody with a beautiful shalom aleichem. If we hold that a 4-year-old is supposed to greet everybody with a beautiful shalom aleichem, and you believe, you're convinced that in the chinuch, but if you don't believe that, so then it's a totally different story. What's that? That's right. So why are you telling them to say hi? Why are you telling them to say hi? Is it because that you believe that this is the right thing now to be mechanic them to say hi? Maybe yes. Maybe yes. Could be yes. That depends. But So we're on fair, right? We went out of order. The way it's said in the books is firm, fair, and friendly. So we're still in fair, and fair being number one is the idea of Asei Tov, that fair is actually, to be fair to a child is to bring a child into a sense of responsibility. That's actually one of the fairest thing you could do to a child. Number two, that's the sur meira is kina kavod chas v'chalil, then kas, so obvious. We didn't speak too much about punishing children. In a previous booklet, Chaval, that I we didn't read it inside, but in a previous booklet, we Rav Volpe says, quotes Rav Eliyahu Lapian, who was one of the great tzaddikim of the previous generation, or previous generations. The Rav Eliyahu Lapian said that he hit his children, b'chinuch, and he did it b'cheshbon, but he looks back now as an older man, that he, if he's ma'ayim b'davar, every single one of the times that he patched the kids, maybe I could have done it a little differently. And it's Rav Eliyahu Lapian, who clearly didn't do it out of kas. Prior to punishing a child, always, 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 there needs to be a cheshbon ha-nefesh. The parent has to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh beforehand, before any anisha, before any punishment. If chas v'chalila comes from kas, then it's hafuch. It's the exact opposite of chinuch. It's the exact opposite of chinuch. I bear my soul when I tell you that there's one time I also hit the children every once in a while for chinuch. My father did. But there was one time I patched a child, and the child came over to me years later and said that of that time the child was hurt. It stayed with them. And I don't think I did it out of kas, but the child perceived it as something that was more than they deserved, and it stayed with them. It's a Baruch Hashem, the child's doing beautifully. And I asked the child mechila, and the child came over to me years later and told me, but still something that pains me to this day. So, the next step worse from Rav Eliyahu Lapian, where the child came back and said that it was something that was hurtful. So looking back, as I got older, I actually hit my children less. Some of my children say because my last child is so well behaved. But I don't think it's that. It's that I've matured through life. I happen to believe that that parents should be allowed to hit their children. In the most extreme, I think it's the right thing. The class example is a 2-year-old runs into the street, and a two-year-old doesn't understand, and in such a case, the Pavlovian way of being mechanech is necessary. But there's no question that the risks of hitting a child so out the detriments so outweigh the positives, that most of the time, 90-95% of the time, I've learned as a parent, there might very well be a better way than hitting. So it's beferish Rav Eliyahu Lapian that way. It's been my life experience as well, that would be something that a parent should really, really make a cheshbon ha-nefesh about. I don't think it's pashut that again, I want to emphasize, I don't think it's pashut that a parent should be arrested for hitting a child, even in a case where the child complains. But at the end of the day, it's still in our generation, it's clear, and as time goes on, it's clear and becomes clearer and clearer that parents do it, that parents do it in cases where it's a mistake. So nachzor l'inyanenu, in regards to every punishment, certainly hitting a child, the parent has to take time out and think through exactly what it is. There are gedolei Torah that they say used to say yiratzon beforehand, that they would say a tefillah, and I'd highly, highly recommend that. As well, actually, when the child runs into the street, the 2-year-old runs into the street, then it could be that it's not that their yiratzo might not be shayach. But coming back to onesh in general, that before giving any onesh, parents really should think through what they're doing. So therefore, kina, kavod, and kas. Are something that's extremely important that we make a cheshbon ha-nefesh about. With that being said, there's one more thing about fair, or two more things. I just want to make sure before I go on to Yitzchak that I remember it. Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe a question. Mm-hmm.
Sure, absolutely.
In the scenarios that would be okay to hit whatever.
Right.
Dharma, what you mean.
Right.
It's not in faith.
No, no, never, never. It didn't dawn on me. Right.
Like a hand through
everything? This becomes like a question of Masorah. The Hainu that my father, for little children, my father would hit on the backside. But again, it has to be done in a way that the child doesn't feel it's degrading.
Yeah, it's show the severity.
Correct. But again, I want to emphasize. I think 95% of the time, it's really really not necessary. There is a 5% of the time that it might be the most important thing. I believe strongly. It's 95% of the time it's not appropriate, but not 100% of the time it's not appropriate. The question is, someone could paskin that because 95% of the time it's not appropriate, as a low plug, you should never do it. I could hear someone say that. But I do believe that there are times that the 5% it might be your ideal. Okay. The other thing that we just said, kina, kavod, and kas, the other thing that that parents do that's not fair to children is really, really important, is imposing their own their dreams on their children. And this is very, very, very significant. Why do we want our child to excel in something? Is it because, as we discussed in the first year, that the chinuch of to lahachshir otam laavodatam, to prepare them for their avoida, that's the best way to prepare it? Or because somehow we have certain things that we want our children to do. And no parent lives life perfectly. As you're going to go through life, there are going to be certain regrets that you're going to have. Regret that you didn't do something, regret that you didn't experience something, regret that you did do something. And sometimes what happens is that the parents want to live vicariously through their children. So the classic case that you have where Balei Tshuva often fall, really, really fall on their faces is when you have somebody who wasn't Zocha to learn from when they were young seriously. And they're so excited, and they're many times Moser Nefesh, that their children be able to go to yeshiva and to learn and so on and so forth. And sometimes they push their children in a particular direction because they want to sort of rectify what they didn't have. And that's something that's extremely, extremely dangerous. At the end of the day, what is right, not because of something you missed in life or something you believe you want your child to be. The classic case is my son, the doctor, right? The Jewish grandmother. And that phenomenon of my son, the doctor, Jews are terrible in this regard. Terrible, terrible mechanchim. Yeah, and that's something that's very, very, very important. Sometimes also we want to fix our own mistakes. We want to make sure that the mistakes that we made, our children don't make. But sometimes before they make them, but sometimes children have to make those mistakes and grow from those mistakes. So the cheshbon nefesh is it coming from what's best for the child, or is there my own negius that I'm trying to push through? The last type of fear is mamish, the opposite of the patch. Let's just show how one could go in such a different direction. Did you ever think of when a child does something wrong, when the child's already calmed down, to ask them, I'm going to say something quite controversial, to ask them what they think is the appropriate negative reinforcement? What do they think the consequence should be? Let them choose the consequence. Now, I'm already out of the zone of chinuch, so I think if I'd have a 3-year-old or a 10-year-old, maybe I would say that's a ridiculous suggestion. I'm presenting it almost as a sort of to challenge certain beliefs that we have. But where it's clear, where you can do it, it's that I'm throwing out l'hagdil Torah u'l'adira, something to think about, whether it's shaykh or a way to incorporate. But certainly, for positive reinforcement, Why not? Why does it the parent have to be dictating above? The parent should start from a place, when it comes to the reinforcement, the parent should start from a place where there's communication. Remember we said that according to Rambam, different rewards are different appropriate for different kids from the Rambam Mishmona Prakim. So why don't you say to a child, you know, I think it's really good for you to go to extra learning program. And you make a cheshba nefesh, you're not doing it because your friend Ruvain's son is going. You're doing it because the child is ready and it's appropriate and they're not doing anything else that's productive at that time. And they'll enjoy it. It's the right environment for them. It's not too from. It's not from enough. It's the Rebbe's not too hard. The Rebbe's not too easy. Everything is right for your child. So why don't you ask the child what they would like for their positive reinforcement? Now, what's the instinctive reaction that parents say? The reason they don't, because they're going to ask. They're going to ask for the Empire State Building. They won't. The more and more you involve them, the less likely they are to ask. The Empire State Building. So that's
say no.
What?
They'll say no, it's too much.
Correct. Now, there is a child at a certain stage that two things could be a challenge. Number one, the child is just not mature enough for that yet. And as I'm not talking about your kids at their age now. I'm talking about 11, 12 year, 13 year olds. And there are also children that have have a difficulty making up their minds about something. So the child has difficulty making up his or her mind, then actually, which is sometimes a sign of anxiety, so then actually you're just promoting anxiety. But there are many, many times where the child doesn't have that anxiety. There's certain things that they've been thinking about that they would like. And so that you could share with them. So we've spoken about fair. Yeah. Yes. Yes, and that definitely is connected. It definitely is connected to anxiety as well. There are definitely stages that will apply to. As I said, I wasn't talking about 4 year olds, but as the children get older, because what we're doing then is we're recognizing a certain level of maturity, and we're communicating with them, and they're also beginning to figure out in life what is their value system and what is an appropriate value system. And so that form of communication, I think, could be very, very helpful. Okay, we're going to conclude with firm, and Mirtz Hashem, continue with friendly next time. So you could bring this booklet back. You know what? Before we do firm, we have 3 minutes, and it's very appropriate. Unless we did already. Remind me. Did we do a Father's Kabbalahs?
No.
It was in the last booklet. Okay, excellent. I remember what I'm confusing it with. Okay. Yeah, let's conclude with Father's Kabbalah. So Rabbi Osai, this is very, very, very beautiful. And this is very appropriate following up on the heels of fair. And we'll see a couple things of friendly as well. I checked off the ones that I wanted to read with you. Hereby resolved, the Father's Kabbalah, Dr. Loeb. I will remember that you are a child. I will find ways to show you that you are loved. I will say I love you more often, and I will express it in other ways as well, perhaps in touch, tone of voice, smile, look on my face, and the giving of my time. Remember that I developed last time that the words I love you could be empty. And really, I believe I would rewrite this a little bit, and I would say that the most important way a parent shows love is by the sense of security and closeness and commitment and time that parents spend with their children. I will not degrade you, laugh at you, ridicule you in any way. I will say I'm sorry when I'm wrong. That's a big one, Rebbe Osai. We think that we only have to say I'm sorry to our spouses, to our chavrusas, to our parents. We should say I'm sorry to our children. They're more likely to be able to say I'm sorry themselves, to their spouses, Amir Tz Hashem, if we say I'm sorry to them. I will smile more to you. I will smile more, period. That's a very, very good one. I once asked, Rebbetzin Schechter once put up a picture on the wall, and she said to me, you know who that is? and I didn't recognize it was a very intense Gadol B'Torah. She said to me, "You don't recognize the Soloveitchik smile?" She said. That was, anyhow, it was not one of the Rabbanim Soloveitchik of our Masorah. But anyhow, but the point is that I do think that the reason why it's necessary for me to make that joke, to quote that joke, is that we've grown up, and we take a lot of pride, and we should, that to be part of a Masorah that goes back to Reb Chaim and so on. But we don't have to continue the Masorah about the smiling piece and the physical affection between parent and child. Anybody who tries to model, in my opinion, anybody who tries to model the idea that the expression of love, of goodbye from a father to a son, that they're not going to see them for a long time just to shake their hands, is that's off. It's just not, whether it was appropriate 100 years ago, that's another story. By the way, my father, Haredi Kaparis Mishkov, was a little bit closer to that. But he was Mashlim, and he did give hugs at some times. And I think our generation, just children, need it more and more and more. Next one, once upon a time they had, and our generation actually is weaker. I will respect you. I will respect your feelings, your need for space and privacy. I will respect your dignity. I will respect your opinions and your decisions, though at times I may overrule them in your younger years. Now that we have to even make a lumda shalaining about the overruling them, but we don't have time for that. I will be less concerned with kibud av and more concerned with kavod abrios, and I remember the mission that kavod comes to those who give it to others. Rabosai, just forget about kibud av aim in the following sense. Let me rephrase that. Let's forget about our own kavod. That should be the way to say it. Our own kavod, l'chala pachos, in the home, and maybe we should start that way. Our own kavod, we should work on that. Our homes, our own kavod means nothing. And Mirtz Hashem, more and more a person works on that in their own home, it'll be mispashit even when it comes to their workplace and to their shul and other things. We need a place to work on negating our kavod. Now, negating our kavod in the places where there's kavod, unfortunately, is so emphasized in society, so that's very, very hard. You have to be a very, very hard madrega. But if you begin to work on that l'chol apachos at home, that there's no hakpada for your kavod, for your wife and for your children, so then in such a case, then... And it shouldn't be... I'm a little bit cholik. This, by the way, I love. But I would write this a little bit differently. And I would say, don't remember the mission of the kavod comes to those who give it to others. Just recognize that kavod is false, and so that kavod is sheker, and lo yered acharav kavodo, and that l'chol apachos, that there will be your children and your spouse will have experienced you as someone who's not makna on your kavod, and the moment in which we work on it, it's going to affect everywhere else as well, because that's where our instincts are created in the house. Let's conclude with this beautiful Kabbalah. I'll be more loving to mommy and always respect her. I'll remember the look on your face when I've said something hurtful to her. I'll make more effort to bring joy into our family, to bring our home and a spirit of song. One of the most powerful things that I've done, that I've noticed in Chinuch, is when I pointed out to a child in an appropriate way that they were mezalzel in the kavod of their mother. That's a very, very powerful piece of chinuch, or not mezalzel. My children, Baruch Hashem, weren't mezalzel. But chas v'chalil, to be pogeya in even a small way. So you're accomplishing two things. Number one, you're showing how important your wife's kavod is, and you're training your children in the significance of that. Again, kavod here is not the word kavod that we were speaking about before. But we were speaking about that they should treat their mother as a queen. It's not normal to expect from a 4-year-old, but when they start getting 10, 11, 12 years old, that's something that... And of course, the more you treat your wife as a queen, the more that your children are going to treat your wife as well. And that's... how we've concluded in the past that the most important piece to Chinuch Habanim is Shalom Bayis. So that's why at the first moment of marriage, one begins that process of Chinuch Habanim. Okay, Mirza Hashem, next time, maybe we'll continue with the Kabbalahs, bring this. I probably won't even make a new booklet. And we've done fair, and Mirza Hashem, we're going to do firm and friendly, Mirza Hashem, next time. Yashar koach.